So let's have a little conversation here about marketing tools that are super, super useful here in 2022. I'm going to call this essential marketing tools. We look at Canva and a whole range of other options. Now, I need to state at the outset here that I'm not actually sponsored or incentivized by any of the tools that I'm going to talk to you about as we go through this session. I think that's an important thing. So this is an objective opinion. But in some ways subjective, because obviously as a marketer, we all have our own personal preferences and we all have our own different ways of getting value from the various kind of tools and platforms and systems that we play with. So that is what I'm going to share with you as we go through this session here today. It's going to be a really interesting one. We're going to go very, very quickly through a whole range of different options. And what I want to do is to share with you some opportunities to maybe go away and test a number of different platform systems and services, widgets, apps, whatever you want to call these. And there will be a whole host of these as we go through this session. We're going to cover tools that will be useful for you to market your business. We're going to look at meetings, collaboration, sources of content, and then creation of content. I'm going to touch on podcasting, live streaming, and how to then use some of these tools for creating campaigns and tracking campaigns, as well as analytics and some administration within marketing your business or organization. So there are a host of things that we're going to cover. And I think for me, this is really one of the essence of the tools that are available to us. They are just tools. Okay, so these are not things that are going to change potentially what you do. They're just going to change how you do it. They're not going to change why you're doing marketing in your organization, but hopefully they're going to increase the efficiency with which you actually then create the materials, the campaigns, the projects, and the activities that you do. So that, to me, that's the essence really of what we're here to talk about in this particular session. So without further ado, let's get into some of the examples. And I'm going to show you an example that I would say from my own personal perspective as a marketer of some 3.5 decades of experience playing around with these tools. I would say that these are my current favorites. Now, this isn't to say that these things are going to always be there, but at the moment, these are the top performing tools that I use. And I'm also going to give you some examples of alternatives that I have played with recently that I have explored that don't quite make it into my sort of proven and favorite tool for a particular application. But they're also, you know, opportunities for you to explore and make your own judgments from them. So let's start the first one, meetings. Now, the ubiquitous Zoom, I guess, for me is the top priority. Now, I know there are lots of other meeting virtual and hybrid opportunities and platforms for you, and a lot of ways that you can actually use the modern technologies to have meetings wherever you are and whatever it is you're trying to do. For me, Zoom is still number one on the list. It is ubiquitous. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's using it. The recent addition of the whiteboard feature within Zoom is a really, really big plus, because it is very much part of an interactive way now that you can use Zoom for meetings. Zoom also integrates with a whole bunch of other technologies, and a lot of the other platforms now will integrate Zoom into them. So if you're doing other things within your day-to-day admin or marketing, you can generally integrate Zoom in with it. So it's a very, very sort of useful interface to be able to bolt on or add on video conferencing particularly. For me, though, Zoom is also added value because of the webinar feature. I'm actually using that right here, right now, as I'm talking to you. So this is recording, and it's recording to the cloud, so it doesn't impact on my own local storage, recording any sessions that you do to the cloud directly. Obviously integrated with things like chat, Zoom rooms, breakouts. So a whole range of different ways that you can scope and shape something that really works for you. So to me, Zoom is my number one. But having said that, there are alternatives. Obviously, we have Microsoft Teams. A lot of corporates are using Teams. You may well be locked into that and not able to use Zoom if that is the policy of your organization. And that's fine. You know, a lot of these things are doing similar kinds of feature sets and applications. a lighter version that is possibly a little bit more portable and a little bit more achievable for everybody's Google Meet. I'm sort of finding that I'm getting quite a few invitations onto Google Meet, and others are available, similar kinds of platforms like BlueJeans, for example, which seems to be quite popular in the PR sort of sector. So a lot of sort of functionality there that I guess a lot of us over the last couple of years are becoming sort of very familiar with. Next one on my list is for collaboration. If you want to take the collaboration element of an online meeting to the next level, my current favorite is Mural, Mural.co. And this is an online virtual whiteboard, but it's a whiteboard with very, very detailed feature set. So you can do a whole bunch of things with Mural, not only whiteboarding, which obviously is a very popular method of controlling virtual meetings, but also there are video and image integrations. So you can make the whiteboard that you're collaborating with your colleagues or with suppliers or customers. You can make that very, very feature rich. So if you're looking to build maybe a project over time, you can add in images and video very, very easily, click and drop into your whiteboard. And so you can very much use it as a central capturing point or a central hub that can be very, very useful for you so to build over time projects. So collaboration is very, very simple. You can give people specific access to particular parts of the whiteboard, and you can also create a whiteboard from a range of different templates that Mural provide for you. So it is very, very useful if you're looking to create something that has a bit of a consistency so that maybe people in your team become familiar with a certain style of whiteboard for a particular type of project. And for me, the additional little benefit of the autosave is if you're hosting a large whiteboard meeting, you don't have to worry about things getting lost, because the autosave facility will keep everything very much up to date and obviously safe. There are alternatives. Teams now has a built-in whiteboard facility, and Mural is actually one of the preferred apps within Teams that you can bolt in. So if you're already using Teams, you can add in Mural as a feature set in the app. You might also use, for similar kind of collaboration, something like Slack. Zoom itself has a whiteboard feature. Slack is a slightly different alternative here if you're not so much about creating a visual kind of whiteboard, but you're more into creating a timeline of files and materials. Slack can be very much a sort of a social media style, social friendly way of collaborating in real time. So that can also be quite useful. So moving on from collaboration, one of the things that you might be looking to do is to create a whole range of different sources of information. As marketers, business developments, and customer facing people, what we always try and do is stay on board of the latest kind of trends and thinking. My favorite content source right here, right now, is Paperly. So that's paper.li if you're searching this one up online. And Paperly is really, really quite fascinating. For me, it has two functions. One is to aggregate and collate information on a variety of different topics that I can state in my account. So for example, if I'm looking to track the latest articles and thought leadership on a topic such as metaverse marketing, I can actually put metaverse marketing in there, and Paperly in the background will be sourcing articles and content and videos that it will curate for me into my timeline. Now, this timeline can also then be integrated with my website, so I can be publishing these articles as though I have curated them. But of course, it's all automated. So not only does it give me a lovely feed of market intelligence, which as a marketer is always very useful, and so it's kind of background research that happens on an automated basis, but because it can integrate with my website, I can automatically publish that to my site. So it can provide almost like a hub of information, which if at topic is something that really resonates with my audience, as well as my ongoing CPD and building of information and knowledge, it can actually then really inform the thought leadership on that topic. So I'm able to publish automatically content around the topic of metaverse marketing. So I'm learning as well as actually publishing at the same time. There's also a very nice little feature within Paperly, which allows you to be briefed just as your paper, because it is in effect a daily newspaper digitally that is being published on your behalf. You can actually go in just before it gets published and actually then maybe take out any articles that it's found that you don't think necessarily resonate either with you or with your audience. So it allows you to kind of take control over that over time. So Paperly, really, really interesting little example. It's a very well established platform. I've been using it for a number of years, but it is only recently that I've actually taken on the premium version of the account. And it is very, very strong. It's very, very good. It's super simple. And there are other ways, obviously, that you can grab content. I use Twitter lists as well. So the lists feature within Twitter to aggregate content around particular topics and follow particular accounts. And also, if you want to put some form of numerical evidence against the data capture that you have, Statista is also a very, very useful resource. But for me, Paperly takes the current number one spot just because of this ability to integrate with my website and publish this kind of content. So if you're into thought leadership, you're trying to build your personal or business brand around a particular set of topics, then content delivered to you through Paperly on an automated basis might be very, very useful for you. So thoroughly recommend that one. Now, when you are starting to think about content creation as opposed to content sourcing, the big daddy of them all right now is Canva. So I've kind of said at the outset that Canva is really one that I would like you to be focusing on. If you haven't used Canva, go to canva.com, canva.com, and you will see that because it is pre-optimized and pre-configured to all of the different outputs that you might be looking to produce, so everything from Instagram Reels and Instagram posts through to TikTok, through to, well, any kind of social content, imagery, text, memes, infographics, there are templates already programmed and optimized for the various outputs you might want to put it to. So in other words, if you want to update your Facebook cover image, for example, it will all be pre-configured. So all you have to do is be bringing an image with you or the words or the idea that you might have, and you can use Canva to do just that, actually produce really high quality outputs, literally on a drag and drop basis. And because it's already pre-configured, because it's already pre-optimized, it also has a range of different pre-configured free media in there as well. So some video clips and some imagery. It literally does everything for you. So it's almost like having your own little design agency at your fingertips. There is a free version. You do, if you want to get some of the premium content and the premium templates, need to subscribe. But you might find that if you're going to use this kind of content creation on a regular basis, that this might be a really valuable thing for you to do. So canva.com, for me, the definitive content creation platform right here, right now. It will produce video, but I'm going to tell you just now, one, that if video is what you're looking to do, so short form video, particularly for promotional or little sound bites, I would say probably my favorite one. So there is a number one slot, which is Canva, but there's a kind of an also ran that's coming up quickly behind it for video, and that is InVideo. So if you go to InVideo.io, that will give you a whole range of different canvas style templates and pre-configured layouts and formats for short form video. And a lot of those are pre-produced. So all you need to do is literally go in and overlay the text or the introduction or the kind of the storyline, if you like, in the text. And you can use their pre-configured short form video templates. So that's also a really good one. Content creation also might mean that you have to be sourcing imagery or video clips. So Shutterstock is my preferred for that, but also Pixabay. I really like Pixabay, license free for commercial use. And there aren't many sites that produce content which is license free for commercial use. You have to be very careful when you're sourcing video or imagery for your own commercial use, but pixabay.com is a very good source there, very reliable, and you can give a bit of a shout out or you can contribute or make a little donation to any of the producers in there. There's a whole bunch of other content creation. In fact, there are way, way too many to be mentioning really in a short clip like this, but lots of other content creation tools. The ones that I use are Infogram for data visualizations. I use Batch Geo, which is Google Maps geocoding, if you want to be visually putting any sort of data or information on a map background. Batch Geo is a really good one. You might also need some free stock music, for example. So free-stock-music.com. That will give you some, again, license-free and for commercial use music clips, maybe to kind of be part of the little short-form videos that you're putting together. But also, if you want to keep a consistency, and a lot of people might be considering content creation as part of a brand building or as a rebranding. I've mentioned Canva earlier, but there's a Canva colors generator. If you Google search that, you can find the colors generator on Canva, which will then give you a color palette that it recommends for consistent production of content around an image that you can upload. So you go to canva.com, look up colors generator, upload an image of your choice, and it will give you a consistent color palette that it can see from the image that you've just uploaded. And we all need to be consistent in our marketing communications. So that can be a very useful little tool, just to really bookmark for when you need it. It might not be something you're going to use every day, but again, for consistent marketing, that can be very powerful. Okay, so we're whizzing through all of these tools, and I'm going to move on now from kind of video and imagery production to audio. A lot of marketers right now are trying to find their way into podcasting, so audio content. By far and away, my preferred platform, it's leaps and bounds ahead of all the others in my book, is Anchor. This is a Spotify-owned platform, but the really cool thing about this is it is for free, and they claim it will always be free. You can create your podcast within Anchor. You can distribute it amongst a whole range of the top podcast services. So it will automatically go out to Spotify. It's Spotify owned, but it will also go out to Apple Podcasts and a whole bunch of others. The interesting thing now is over and above that automatic distribution, you can actually monetize your podcast. This is a new feature that Anchor have only recently introduced. You need to apply for this, but hopefully you'll get this very, very quickly. And you can now, based on wherever you are in the world, you can actually monetize individual podcasts. So if you're doing a big ticket podcast and you think this is really high value to my audience, I want to charge $1 or $10 or whatever, you can decide, you can put the value of that podcast out there, and people can then listen to it and obviously pay either individual subscription for your whole podcast or just for one episode that you predefine. And all of this, from your perspective, is for free. The other really neat feature, which works on Spotify and only Spotify right now, as I understand it, is video podcasting. Now, we're seeing a bit of a blurring between audio podcasts, which we're all very familiar with, and video podcasts. So if you are doing the video clip of your podcast, you're actually recording yourself or maybe doing an interview with somebody else, and you also want to share the video version of that podcast so that people can watch it, not just listen to it, then this is happening now on Spotify. So if you are listening to or watching podcasts actually on Spotify, you can do video podcasting using anchor.fm. And all of this is for free, and they're claiming will always be for free. So for me, just the interface is so simple. You can record elsewhere and click and drag it into Anchor to produce your podcast. or you can actually record it using the app or the desktop version of Anchor. You can actually record it straight into, so you can record your voice straight into Anchor. It is very simple. It is very, very easy to use, very good to live with. So I highly recommend Anchor. And as I should say, if you're just joining this particular sort of episode, this particular broadcast, I should say I'm not incentivized by any of these platforms at all. So this is very much Neil Wilkins' view, if you like, of the latest hot marketing tools for 2022, but not incentivized by any of these. These are just the ones that I find I'm using to best effect right now. So moving on from the whole kind of video audio thing, I've mentioned kind of podcasting a little bit there. What I would say is that some of us now are live streaming some of those things. So we might be live streaming a podcast, or we might be doing a webinar as a live stream, or we might just want to do an introduction to something, or maybe a launch of a product or service. If you're into live streaming or looking to explore it, then my preferred platform here is StreamYard. So StreamYard.com, which is absolutely brilliant. I have to say it is one of my very favorite marketing tools right here, right now. It will automatically stream out to all of your favorite social media channels all at the same time. And you can do all of them. You can do just one. You can do just a number of them. So LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Hopin and Twitch right now. And you can also configure it to stream out to your website if you so wish as well. So from one platform, you can stream to multiple destinations. And that is a really useful thing for anybody live streaming right now. There's cloud storage. You can save up to, I think it's around about 50 hours worth of your live streams. You can save those into the cloud as part of your subscription. The resolution is really, really good. I find that if I record a live stream or a webinar through something like Zoom, for example, it is a little bit grainy. It is not as high quality as you might like. But if you're looking for top quality resolution, because you're going to reshare it and or you're going to then basically create a lot of short form video clips from the longer form video that you've just streamed live, then I would say StreamYard is as good as it gets right now, certainly from my experience. The interface is absolutely amazing. It is click and drag. You can bring other people in. So if you want to do interviews, or maybe you're running a little conference or an event and you want to bring people in to the show and then take them out, it literally is click and drag into the live studio. The service support is exemplary. They are very, very fast to come back to you. And if you've got new ideas that you want to be sharing or getting from StreamYard, you only have to suggest them and they will come back to you with some ideas about what they can do to support you. They also provide a number of training webinars, which don't just focus purely on StreamYard, but are all about live streaming best practice. So get along to StreamYard.com if that is something that is of interest to you. I would say that it's one of the best, if not the best channel out there for doing that. So let's move on again to then building maybe a campaign. So creating campaigns, one of the big tools that we all tend to use within our campaigns is to keep in touch with our existing database through the reliable form of email. And of course, all of us, if we don't have our own sort of big customer relationship management system that we're tied into, are generally then turning to something like MailChimp. I can't knock MailChimp in any way, shape or form for what it is capable of doing. I love the real-time version of looking at the data and the responses from the emails that get sent out. That is super, super powerful to know as soon as you've sent out who's opening, who's looking, who's coming back and reopening. It is just so powerful in terms of engagement. The way that we can segment our customers into various kind of segments is, again, very powerful to allow us to then send finely tuned stories or information or newsletters to individual groups or segments of our database. So one size fits all, we know that's not appropriate. So being able to segment is really, really important. So we can do that from within MailChimp. Lots of pre-configured templates allow us to look really good. There's no excuse for sending out really rubbish emails anymore. You know, we can actually make ourselves look really good again, click and drag is the way to do this stuff. The nice thing about MailChimp is that it is GDPR compliant. So we're always knowing that we are doing best practice. We're led through a process, thanks to MailChimp, of keeping everything above board. People can unsubscribe if they wish to. It just allows a very clean methodology behind our management of emails in a database, but also actually our publication as well. And the fact that at a low level of data holding, so a low level of emails, we get a free version. If we're doing this big time, we can obviously subscribe and you do get additional features. So to me, MailChimp is the single point that I would certainly go to as far as campaign creation. And of course, we can complement that by all the variety of other things that we might want to do within our campaigns. If we want to find out and be doing polls or market research, then something like SurveyMonkey is obviously very, very good. If we're trying to integrate our campaigns with our website and we want to know how best to focus down onto keywords, then something like UberSuggest from Neil Patel's website is a very, very good sort of strong starting point to align our website in with our campaign. And if we want to test how everything is looking on a set of different browsers, because of course we want to be focusing in on where our audience is and seeing how it looks from their perspective, then Browser Stack for browser testing of our campaigns across a whole range of browsers, mobile and fixed desktop, is a really, really good little tool to help us to do that. And a little additional one I just want to make you aware of, if you haven't seen this one, is Linktree. So if you go to linktr.ee, Linktree with .ee at the end of it, you can then find a single specific link that allows you then to link to a very, very simple on-brand page that has some of your key then links at the next step in the campaign journey for your audience. Now, for things like Instagram, where we're limited to a single link out of Instagram, Linktree can prove very, very useful to link to somewhere where you might want to be giving your audience choices as to where they go next. So if Linktree provides value to that, then I would certainly suggest you go and have a little look at that. But for me, MailChimp, in terms of the first thing to think about as we're creating content, is still in my top list of tools within campaign creation. Now, when it comes to campaign tracking, because of course we want to be making sure that we are always, always, really on the game when it comes to sort of watching what happens within our campaigns, my favorite really is still Bitly. So bit.ly, Bitly, which is short form links. And this is still a very, very powerful little tool which allows us to do what we might call stealth tracking, really. So it's convenient because it is a short link for the customer. It's easily memorable. It is very relevant to the campaign that we might be doing. So they're actually clicking a link which says the name of the campaign. So it is literally doing what it says on the tin. But then from our perspective, we know that we can take that link to an individual landing page or a particular destination. Now, if you then go to the Bitly website, you can see exactly where people went and how many people came through that particular link. So if you're sending out different links, or you're putting maybe links embedded into your MailChimp emails, and you want a different link for each individual style of newsletter you're sending out, because you're sending them out to different audiences, or maybe you're doing a split test. So you're changing, one image on a particular email A, and you're changing that to email B, and you want to measure the difference between the two, then you could use individual Bitly URLs or links to put into each of those individual email newsletters. And then you'll be able to then track and see that email A outperformed email B and where they went after that. So it's a very, very much about cloaking the link that people are clicking so that you can get that extra little bit of granular level detail on who is clicking through that specific link. So rather than it just being any old button, it's a button that is cloaked with a URL, a short code URL that you can then follow. They're also QR code friendly. So a lot of us are blending this real world and virtual world now. So if you want a QR code friendly, you can use your QR code that goes out via a Bitly link so that you can see exactly who and when that QR code was clicked. And of course, there is a free version. You can get some higher value stuff and some premium features from Bitly, but the free version does all of what I've just described. So if you want to get more detail about who is clicking the specific points in your campaign journey, then bit.ly, bit.ly is the place to go for those. There are some additional things that you can do when you're tracking campaigns, and these would be alternatives if you're wanting to know, you know, some detail down to the individual level of a particular tweet or a particular post. And then things like Follower Wonk, Hootsuite, many people are using Hootsuite right now, TweetDeck, and also TweetBeam. All of these allow you to track campaigns at this kind of level. But for me, Bitly gets it because it is very much in sort of parallel with and sympathetic to the customer's experience, because the code can be cloaked, as I said earlier, with the name of the campaign. So it makes sense to them as the same time as providing you with the detailed analytics that you need to be able to control your campaign. And when it comes to analytics, and particularly then if we're drawn towards looking deep into our website analytics, well, it goes without saying that there is still just the one big one of all, and it still is my number one for website analytics. Of course, that is Google Analytics. Now, if you're not aware of Google Analytics, well, now is the time to get deep inside your website with Google Analytics. If you're already aware of it, you've probably seen that on the 1st of July 2023, it will be upgrading to version 4. There are quite a lot of changes that are going to be coming from Google as we go into next summer. And what you'll be prompted with, if you're already using this, you will be prompted to transition over to version 4. Okay, so Google Analytics, as we go through the next year, the next 12 months, will fundamentally change to what we've been used to. Now, the great news is it will continue to be free, but it is the ultimate website insights. The trick with Google Analytics, and you probably know this if you're a regular user of it, is if you go in with the questions you want answered, you stand a chance of keeping control over it. Okay, don't be led by Google Analytics. It goes into way too much detail and you will get lost. So the trick is to find two or three questions that you'd love to know about your website. Who's going where? What are they doing? Why are they doing it? When are they doing it? So figure out what your questions are before you go in and actually look into the detail, because you will get baffled by the numbers. There are literally billions of combinations of data and information in there. So know your questions before you go in, and it will remain, I'm sure, you know, the number one. It is ubiquitous for all of us looking at our kind of website. But there are others. There's alternatives or maybe complementary services that will also give you a little bit of an insight as to what is going on. And particularly if you want to look at the integration of your social media with your website analytics. Now, what Google Analytics does, it only focuses on your website. Okay, it can't tell you. It can tell you where people came from to the website, but it can't tell you what they did there to come to the website. So we need to then complement it and blend it with some other services. So a very simple one, if you just want to get a quick snapshot of how your website, and interestingly, maybe how your competitors' websites are performing, then try Nibbler, N-I-B-B-L-E-R. Just search out Nibbler by SilkTide, and you can see a very simple little tool which will allow you to critique at quite a high level. This is publicly accessible information that Nibbler then will collate and then give you a little report for, to give you a bit of an idea as to what is going on in your and or your competitors' websites. So it gives you a starting point. If what you see is of interest, then you can look at SilkTide, SilkTide.com. And that is the owner of Nibbler. Nibbler is the entry-level tool. SilkTide is the full-on tool. And that will do some really deep dives into the accessibility the usability, et cetera, of your website. So you need the login to be able to use SilkTide, but Nibbler allows you to critique other websites too. So SilkTide allows you to get recommendations on an objective level. It will rate all of these criteria from 0 to 10, and it will show you then and give you some recommendations of things that you can do to improve your website. If you want to know a little bit higher upstream, particularly if you are doing a campaign and you're tracking a customer journey through your social into your website, you might want a service like Sprout Social, sproutsocial.com, to dive deeper into the social side of your analytics before they arrive on your website. So Sprout Social, probably best in class right now for doing that. And if you want to get some specialist stuff, potentially around using Twitter, then I would recommend you have a look at TweetsMap. TweetsMap gives you a lovely global basis of knowing where your Twitter followers are and how active they are right now. TweetsMap gives a nice visual interpretation of your the geography, if you like, of your following, and can be drilled down to an individual campaign. BuzzSumo is also a really interesting one, which shows how much traction you've had in the real world from your campaign. So it gives you some nice kind of analytics as to, you know, how many mentions maybe your campaign had. You can search down to an individual campaign description level. So there's some really interesting data in there. And just coming back briefly to the website, if you are into things like hot maps, so you want to see where on your particular website, you know, you've got to click through from the button that you put on a particular landing page, but you want to see where on that page people were looking, people were actually reading, where the cursor was going, then Hotjar, hotjar.com allows you to put a little piece of code in there that will give you a visual hot map of where people were looking on your actual landing page. So there's no excuse now in campaign planning and campaign delivery to not know the answers as to what happened. So for me as a marketer, these would be my go-to tools to really kind of keep control over the outgoing marketing communications, which hopefully then allows me to be super efficient. So how am I controlling all of these campaigns? How am I controlling all of this activity at a more kind of central level? Well, my go-to place for my admin, and you may already be, if you're in a larger organization or you work for a big brand, you might already be kind of told where you're going to go and where you're going to be working. But if you have some form of flexibility or control over this, you might decide that you're going to take it on yourself. So you're going to control where you do your admin. For me, I've been using Basecamp by a company called 37 Signals. I've been using them now for some 15 years. I think it is almost since I think they were born. It's a very, very simple, but very, very user-friendly place to live on a day-to-day basis. They have a scheduling system within here. There are to-do lists. You can break things down into individual projects, and you can include only those people working on that project in a particular project. You can have your own private places. You can share and store documents and files. You can have group chat, message boards, actions and tasks. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but it's very de-featured. Okay, there's no complication. It's very, very simple. It's a very clean interface. And for me, it's just a lovely place to live. And there is a mobile app version of this. So if I need to just check into my calendar at any point, I can do that. So it's a very nice way of, you know, remembering how to really be controlling the variety of different projects and activities I do. Yes, there are alternatives. A lot of people are using Trello right now. Most people have some form of Dropbox or equivalent, and TickSpot as well is a very useful little add-in as well, which actually is an add-in to Basecamp if you want it, if you're having to track time. So if tracking time is really important to you because you're doing billable hours, or you're just curious about how much time you're spending on particular projects, check out TickSpot. I've used that for quite a number of years. I'm not currently using it right now, but it has been a very useful one to kind of get a nice sense of what you're doing and when. So if time tracking is useful to you, then TickSpot is good and helpful to the overall admin as an admin tool. Now, I am actually going to share something with you that right here, right now is quite a hot topic for marketers. So there is a little tool, and I do have a vested interest in this one, I have to say, not on a profit basis, but I was one of the co-founders of the Mindful Collective. So if you go to mindfulcollective.net, you will see the hot topic that is marketing sustainability. So the latest tool that I would like to flag up to you for marketing sustainability, if sustainability is a key thing within your business or your organization, or you'd like it to be, but you don't know where to start, one of the tools for marketers right now that we are focusing on is the Mindful business model, which talks about, and this is very marketer focused and it's very evidence based. It's a set of tools or a set of kind of thinking, if you like, to help you as a marketer on taking the first steps in the journey to marketing sustainability. It's based around four key premises that you would be figuring out how to make your products more sustainable, how to work more effectively and ethically with your people right across all stakeholders, how you are going to deliver value in the organization in terms of process and efficiency, and also how you're going to remain profitable, but the right kind of mindful and sustainable profit into the future. So the value return to your organization. So if sustainability is something that you're looking for a really effective little tool for, and you just want something that you can work with, then I recommend mindfulcollective.net. And as I say, I do have to declare a little bit of an interest in pointing in that direction, because I was or am one of the co-founders of that. Now, there are, if you're some way down the journey, there are some alternatives, or you could say complementary services. You could go to the B Corp website and have a look there. This is at a much higher level, much more detailed level. It's not a simple one, but B Corp could help you on your way. And also the GRI standards. If you do a search on GRI standards, there are lots of very useful checklists which just allow you to get thinking or your strategy or your marketing plans and campaigns aligned with just a good, wholesome, ethical methodology. GRI standards have been around now for around about 20 years. So they're very much not the new kids on the block, very, very well established. But there's very much a sort of a credibility and a very much an authentic way of doing marketing into the future. So those are some tools if sustainability is of interest to you. And my current favorite, I thought I should kind of, I've got another couple to share with you, tools here in 2022, my favorite tools, the recommended ones. Just two more really to mention to you. One is Moments, M-O-M-E-N-C-E. If you go to the Moments website, if you are running hybrid events, so maybe your business is based around events and conferences, or your role is, and you wish to have somewhere that allows you to run very much a hybrid style event, these are integrated potentially within Zoom. There's a lovely Zoom integration here. It can integrate as well with your website, so you can actually use Moments to be publishing and promoting a particular event that you're doing. You can also, if you're doing workshops, you can actually get people to basically subscribe as members to a program of workshops that you're doing, or a program of events or masterclasses. And the lovely thing about this is that it is seamlessly hybrid. So you can actually be taking bookings for real world classes or events, as well as those online within the same event. So it's really encouraging this whole new world of hybrid events. You can run free events, or you can do chargeable, billable events as well. There's a very, very nice interface which allows you to integrate your appointments schedule or your diary in with it. So you can actually put a calendar of events if that's useful, and allow people to select one or more from a series that you might be running. And you can also record as well. So you can organize or on-demand videos and courses. That's quite a neat thing to do if you want to bring people back to something that you've already run in the past. So have a little play with that if you think that's useful. So I'm running all of my webinar series, all of my upcoming courses and things through Moments right now. And I'm finding that's a really, really neat way of actually doing it. So if hybrid events is your thing, or you wish to explore, you know, some of the options available to you, Moments, M-O-M-E-N-C-E, helps you to manage basically everything in one place. And the final one I want to bring to your attention, if you're not aware of it already, is a new social media platform called We Are 8. We Are 8 is a very different feel to social networking. One of their promotional messages is that they are trying to take the profit, if you like, away from the big social networks like Facebook, and they really do focus on Facebook, and actually put the money back into the hands of the people who are watching the advertising. Because what they have identified is that when a brand advertises on someone like Facebook, who makes the money? It's Facebook. And you are being basically used as the leverage by Facebook to make more money. So the more you watch the ads, or the more you're forced to watch the ads, the more money Facebook can make. What We Are 8 is saying is that, hey, why aren't brands actually paying money that can then go back to reward the actual people within the network for watching the ads? And so there's a really neat little way that We Are 8 are kind of exploring this whole new way of social networking. So you can consume the content on the timeline as you would expect, but when you see an ad and you're not given sort of ads within the timeline, you're invited to watch a full advertisement, video advertisement within We Are 8. And at the end of it, you're given some questions. And if you answer those questions, you are then paid a proportion of what the brand spent on placing that ad within We Are 8. So you might earn up to 10 pence or 10 cents from watching the ad and answering some questions. So this is really, really focused and targeted advertising. So if you're a brand, there's a great opportunity here to have really high quality engagement and get feedback from the audience, because they're being incentivized to watch the ad and then respond to it. If you're a consumer, rather than being bombarded with ads that are only benefiting the social network, you're actually getting rewarded because you get paid, and the money that you get goes into a little wallet that you can then either take for yourself to pay off your mobile phone bill, as We Are 8 talk about it, or you can get it automatically donated to charity. So there's a really interesting little model going on here. We Are 8 is a B Corp, so they are very much about sustainability. But the key thing that they're about, and this is a very, very strong precedent that they're setting here, is that this is a hate-free social network. So they do not tolerate anything that is negative. Everything is based around changing the world step by step in a positive way. So there's a lot of love in this social network. So if this sounds like it might resonate to you, and it's something that you would, you know, kind of like to explore, then check out the apps, because this is app based. So you can get it on the Apple App Store. You can also get it on Google Play as well. We Are 8. One word, We Are, and then the number 8. Go and have a little exploration of that. There's quite a few sports influencers, sports professionals in there right now who are really embracing this. So it's quite an interesting place to play and go and explore. So you can either go and explore there as a user of the service, or potentially if you're a brand and an advertiser, it could be a very, very interesting exploration that you can have there. Or maybe you're both.